The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 22, Text Number 14, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 20th, 2006, in New Govardhan, Australia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 22, Text Number 14. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Aham tva shrinavam vidvan Vishvahartam samudyatam Atastvam upakurvana Pratam prati grihaname. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Svayambhuva Manu continued, O wise man, I heard that you were prepared to marry. Please accept her hand, which is being offered to you by me, since you have not taken a vow of perpetual celibacy. The principle of brahmacharya is celibacy. There are two kinds of brahmacharis. One is called Naishtika Brahmachari, which means one who takes a vow of celibacy for his whole life. Whereas the other, the Upakurvana Brahmachari, is a Brahmachari who takes the vow of celibacy up to a certain age. For example, he may take the vow to remain celibate up to 25 years of age, then with permission of his spiritual master, he enters married life. Brahmacharya is student life, the beginning of life in the spiritual orders. And the principle of brahmacharya is celibacy. Only a householder can engage in sense gratification or sex life, not a brahmachari. Svayambhuva Manu requested Kardama Muni to accept his daughter, since Kardama had not taken the vow of Naishtika Brahmacharya. He was willing to marry, and the suitable daughter of a high royal family was presented. Om Jnana Timurandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yeno Bhutale Svayam Rupakadam Hayam Tati Svapadantikam. We can see from this pastime how important vows are in the Vedic culture. In other words, Svayambhuva Manu, the emperor, he is honoring the vow of Kardama Muni. If Kardama Muni had vowed to be Naishtika Brahmachari, he would not have offered Devahuti's hand in marriage. But because he had only vowed to be celibate for a certain period of time, therefore he could be offered Devahuti's hand in marriage. So this principle of vows is one of the prime factors of Vedic culture. The most important vows we take are the vows at the time of initiation. As we've been explaining in recent lectures, if one accepts the initiation vows and holds tightly to those initiation vows, then Prabhupada explains, one achieves, by dint of doing that, immortality. one actually revives one's eternal spiritual identity. Of course, the act specifics of it, that is not revealed until a highly advanced stage, when you realize what is your rasa, etc., etc. But generically, that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, that becomes established as an irrevocable fact for one who has, with full sincerity and determination, accepted the initiation vow. Prabhupada said that those who do not keep the vow, they are not human being. You see, any human being, he will keep his word. Otherwise, he is not human being. The symptom of the age of Kali is no one can keep their word in this age. I give promise and then immediately I break promise. That's the nature of our leaders. Political leaders, they are known for that. They give big, big promise, campaign promise, I will do this, 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 this. And then after they are elected, forget it. So how can we expect, when the leaders of the society, practically speaking, are professional liars, how we can expect to have peace and happiness in the human society? Where is the honesty? Where is the integrity of Vedic culture? It is practically finished. There are four legs on Dharma the bull: cleanliness, austerity, mercy, and truthfulness. In the Kali Yuga, austerity is cut off, cleanliness is cut off, mercy is cut off. There's a little bit of truthfulness, but the last leg is quivering, about ready to collapse. So this principle of truthfulness is a very, very essential item. We must know what is the supreme truth. And we must expound what is that supreme truth. Sometimes it seems hopeless or useless. What can we possibly accomplish? But actually, truth is a very powerful thing. Very powerful. Just consider the simple example: light and dark. You can go into a dark cave and you can take one match and strike it. How much distance that one match will be seen? That one little match will have a huge impact actually on that dark cave. And then you take a can which is full of darkness and you grow out into the bright sunlight in New Govardhan here. You say, okay, now I'm going to release this darkness. You see, it's immediately wiped out by the light. It has no impact at all on the light. So from this simple example, we can understand that light or truth is actually infinitely more powerful than darkness or ignorance. So therefore we should speak the truth against this materialistic civilization, against the materialistic philosophy. We should boldly speak this truth. We should boldly propagate this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. As we've been explaining, our victory is guaranteed. It is predicted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sad Janapur Jan, Sadjana Durjana Pangu Jada Andagana Prema Vanyaya Dubaila Jagatera Jana. This Krishna consciousness movement, it is big tsunami. Huge tsunami. Prema Vanyaya. It is a tsunami of prema. You see? Someone sent me a photograph of the tsunami, the last big one. It's an incredible thing. There's a hotel, like 8-story high hotel. This is from a higher building. And this huge wave is coming. It's as high as the hotel. Like 8-9 stories high wave is coming in. But that wave, that tsunami wave is very small compared to this tsunami wave. The Prema Vanyaya, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, you see. That is the ultimate tsunami. And it is predicted to Dubaila Jagatara Jana, to drown everyone. Even the lame, the invalid, and the blind. There's no one who gets off the hook. You see. Parikshit Maharaj gave Kali some places of residence, but this Prema Vanyaya, even the personality of Kali, who is the king of the Durjanas, even he will be inundated by this wave of prema. So, if we simply go deeply into this Nama Mrita, the sweet nectar of Krishna's name, the sweet nectar of Vaishnava Sangha, the sweet nectar of Sankirtan Yajna, congregational chanting and distributing these books, distributing prasad, if we dive deeply, deeply into this prema vanyaya, then oh, what sweet, sweet nectar we'll be tasting at every minute. And what great gift of love we can offer to the world, society. The world is crying for lack of proper leadership. There is no proper leadership. The leaders are running around like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. But we have the formula of how the whole world can live in peace and harmony. Whole world. You see? How will we do it? How will we get the sufficient empowerment to do our duty to lead the world out of chaos? That is described in Bhagavad Gita 3.21. Yad yad acharati shreshtas tat tat eve tarojana sayad pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. That is described. Simply, we have to become ideal in our behavior. You see, that's all. We simply have to become ideal Vaishnavas. So, how do we understand what is ideal Vaishnava? That is given by Srila Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada. Nectar of devotion, you see. If we want to know how to become ideal Vaishnavas, just like now you're having a seminar starting day after tomorrow, some evening seminars on nectar of devotion, you see. This is the training. How to become ideal Vaishnavas. If the Vaishnava, the Brahmin class, you see, they're automatic. Vaishnava means automatically he is Brahmana. He, she, Brahmana. Automatically, Vaishnava. So the Brahmin class becomes properly established. Then the other classes will follow suit practically automatically. The Kshatriya class, Vaishya class, Shudra class, everybody will line up. That's confirmed by that Bhagavad Gita verse. The whole world will follow the example. You see? So this is the wonderful family business of ISKCON. Just like you may grow up in a family, just like in, we go to Loi Bazaar to purchase our dhoti kurta. We go to one shop, Ganga Prasad. Maybe you know that shop, Ganga Prasad. But it is family business. You see, going down from generation to generation. Everyone who grows up in that family, they learn the business, how to fold the cloth nicely. And we saw the little boy, he was folding the dhotis and stacking them very nicely. You see. It's just handed down, how to run the shop very nicely, take nice care of the customers, and count the money, you know, everything. It's just being growing up in that family, you learn the family business, the cloth business. So we have our family business. Our family business is that we must become acharyas, ideal Vaishnavas. Prabhupada has predicted, actually, it will happen. I don't know if you were there, but in Mayapur, in one festival, maybe 76, Prabhupada explained, he said, now we are 10,000. And then we will grow, were you there? And then we will grow to 100,000. And then 1 million. And then 10 million. He said there will be no scarcity of acharyas. You see. Prabhupada wants each and every member of this movement to be acharya, ideal Vaishnava. You see. And these ritviks say, no, only one acharya, Prabhupada. Prabhupada wanted 10 million acharyas in ISKCON. So each and every one of us, we shouldn't think, well, I'm a householder, you know. No, everyone, I'm a Mataji, I'm a child. No, everybody must become acharya. That is Prabhupada's vision for this movement. That will revolutionize the whole planet. This is a training program for acharyas. Acharya Academy. That is our society. This ISKCON is actually the leading, it is meant to be, and factually is, the leading educational institution on this planet. Right now, we're feeling very good that in Europe, we've been certified by some universities so we can give a bachelor's degree in Vaishnavism. And that's very good. But when our movement is really successful, instead of having to be accredited by a karma university, you see, when Oxford, Cambridge, Harvard, and Yale have to be certified by ISKCON to be considered legitimate, that's when we're really successful, you see. And that day will come if we keep preaching, if we keep worshiping the deities, we keep doing our rounds, we keep getting up for Mangalarti. Yeah. If we stick to these principles, that day will come and all the universities of the world will not be recognized as accredited unless ISKCON has certified them as bona fide universities, places of higher education. Because unless a university gives Raja Vidya, you see in Hindi they call Vidyalaya the university. If there's no Raja Vidya, how it can be Vidyalaya? If there's no actual higher education, then how they can claim to be a place of higher education? They cannot be. Only that place that gives Krishna consciousness is a place of higher education. That is the only place. Rajavidya means Krishna consciousness. If they are not giving Krishna consciousness, they are simply avidyalaya, place of nescience. That's fair. So our mission is to turn the places of avidya into places of vidya. And where is that first transformation? Right here. At 4 o'clock in the morning, avidya is beckoning. Sleep, sweet sleep. You see? That is the opportunity to conquer avidya. 4 a.m. Time to get up for Mangalarti. You see? And once you get the ball, if you get on the right foot, conquering avidya, 4 a.m., then you can conquer. It's much easier to conquer it throughout the day. That which is in motion tends to stay in motion. This is a law of physics. So if you can get your spiritual momentum rolling early in the day during Brahma Muhurta, when there is great momentum which can be accumulated during that Brahma Muhurta hour, then that momentum, that spiritual momentum, will carry you all the way through the day. So this is one of the secrets of the spiritual science. Fully capitalize on Brahma Muhurta hour. Taste the sweetest nectar. Dive deep into Nama Ras during Brahma Muhurta, and you will be able to extract Krishna in everything throughout the day, in every sight, every sound. You will feel how you can connect with Krishna. This was the first wonderful instruction I got when I came into the physical presence of Srila Prabhupada. He told us, every day you're drinking water. Once, twice, thrice, more than that. He said, every time that you drink water, take advantage of this. Every time you drink water, if you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. So actually, Prabhupada explained, it is not difficult to become Krishna conscious, simply it requires practice. So the fact is that we can actually extract Krishna from everything throughout our 24 hours if we have tuned in our consciousness very solidly, very intensely to Krishna. Then we can actually be tuned into Krishna 24 hours in all times, all places, and all circumstances. And the result? The sweetest nectar at every minute. Sweetest nectar. There is nothing so sweet as the ocean of Krishna praying. We saw at Byron Bay how everyone is running to that ocean, thinking, oh, this ocean is so nice. I can kayak, I can surf, I can skinny dip or whatever in this ocean and enjoy. Is it? But actually that ocean is nothing compared to this ocean of Krishna consciousness. So we can sport in these waves at every minute. In all times, all places, all circumstances, throughout the entire life, throughout the eternity, we can go deeper and deeper and deeper into this ocean of Krishna prem. Prabhupada has very kindly bestowed this upon us. The nectar of devotion is an ocean of bliss. He's bestowed it upon us. simply have to dive in. Really, it's as simple as that. Simply have to dive in. But sometimes we have the tendency to think, oh, maybe it's too cold. Maybe this, maybe that. The mind gets in the way. But then the devotees are saying, come on in, Prabhu, the water's fine. Come on, come on. We should take the invitation of the Vaishnavas. Come on, the water's great. Why are you sitting on the shore? Come on. We should take the invitation of the Vaishnavas. Take the invitation of Guru and dive in and taste the nectar. So, we'll stop here and see if there's any questions. Yes.
Just one question about the ocean. I heard that all the holy rivers flow into the ocean, so it's good to take bath in the ocean. All the holy rivers?
Holy rivers.
So somewhere I've heard that it's really good to go for a swim in the ocean because it's purifying.
Well, I know one thing. I haven't heard that, but I have read in Prabhupada's books where the ocean is a holy place, a place of meditation. Just like it is mentioned. So there is a certain auspiciousness to the ocean. And what you're saying is certainly a fact. The holy rivers do flow into the ocean. That's a geographical fact. They all flow into the ocean. Of course, they get somewhat... It's not pure Ganga. It has Ganga in it. It has Jamuna in it, but it's not, it's a mixture. It's not the same as going directly in the Ganga or the Jamuna. But it is a fact. Ganga and Jamuna are there. So if you're bathing in the ocean and you meditate on Ganga, Jamuna, then that's very nice. You remember Ganga and Jamuna, and you take bath in the ocean, then it's very nice. Any other questions? Yes.
Just a comment. There was that story where the devotees took Srila Prabhupada down to the ocean. And Prabhupada said, all glories to the Pacific, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, there was... I remember Papa... Was that the picnic they had, I think? I know they had one in the very early days.
I thought that was in...
They had a bonfire on the beach.
Yeah.
All the hippies, they were just a bunch of hippies there at Haight-Ashbury, and they wanted to have a bonfire on the beach, and Prabhupada participated with them. They had a little beach party. Bonfire on the beach. Prabhupada was very merciful. Very, very merciful. Actually, Prabhupada is unlimitedly merciful. Actually, a devotee of the Lord, wherever he goes, he sees the hand of Krishna. It's not that he's running here and there to enjoy this material world, but while he engages in his service, wherever he goes, he appreciates how Krishna has done this so nicely. Just like here, it's such a beautiful arrangement here of Krishna, this area. What a wonderful arrangement Krishna has made. The whole material world is actually a wonderful arrangement of Krishna. A devotee appreciates that. We simply have to use it for Krishna, that's all. And then it regains its original spiritual nature. Prabhupada one time explained that the people like to go to a place of natural beauty, so if we build a temple there, then they come for the natural beauty and they get temple. So it's a very good program. Every beautiful place, just like we saw that lighthouse on the eastern mount, there should be a temple there. You see. Why? Of course, they can keep the lighthouse, that's all right. But there should be a wonderful temple there. Prasadam restaurant. You see, wherever people like to go, those places should all be given for Krishna conscious temples. Throughout the whole world, Grand Canyon, you know, everywhere. All the popular places, they should all be, you know, prasadam restaurants and temples all throughout the world. The governments must do this if they want to solve the problems of the world. They must give us facility. We're waiting for that day when they will wake up and realize that Prabhupada is the actual leader of the world to take us all out of chaos, whole world society out of chaos. Anything else? Yeah.
In Bolton Crusade, when you speak of the truth, the universities and the guidance of saints.
The what?
The guidance of the truth.
Guardians, okay.
Of guidance or guardian, yes. The university is a multiversity. It has many schools. It is not one school, whereas Krishna consciousness is one school. I have heard that said.
I'm a bit hard of hearing, so I'm trying to gather. But what is he saying?
Universities have many schools in there, but Krishna consciousness is one school.
Yeah, multiversity, one.
Yeah, that's. So they have many different colleges within the university: College of Medicine, College of this, College of that. We can also teach many different departments of knowledge within the umbrella of Krishna consciousness. The Vedas have so many departments of knowledge, but they are all within the umbrella Krishna consciousness. So we can also do like that. We can have a big university with many, many department of drama, department of music, department of, you know, every department can be there, but all for Krishna. So we'll stop here, and we thank you all very much for hearing today. Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.